Hey, Indy.
Hi, Striker.
What are you doing here?
Oh, I just came to your house.
You're just gonna be in my house, are you? Not in Northwest Territories, not across the country?
No, I'm not. No, I can't go across the country anymore. I need to recognize that I'm an adult and I need to move on with my life.
Well, in that case, you can chill here.
Okay. We're living together!
Yeah!
Yes, Indy, me, and Striker, him, we are now roommates.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'd say it's been a long time coming.
Yeah, and it'll be the first official film, taping, or whatever you want to call this, recording of Welcome to the Podcast, where we're both in the same city, thank God.
Yeah, which makes things 10 times easier, because we can have supper together. We can, which obviously we couldn't do over Skype, technically.
Yeah. We can use the same mic, which is nice.
Yeah. We can hang out and we can play Xbox once I get a TV up and running.
Yeah.
So I am now living on the east coast of Canada in the Maritimes with Striker now. So, yeah, the gruesome twosome is basically together and under one roof.
There's going to be crazy.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome. So we sent out some questions to listeners /people/ all of the wonderfuls that we know.
My mom. Because she's the only one that listens, obviously.
Oh, right. Yes. Our mothers. Because they totally listen to this. Asking about, like, things that just generally, like, things in games that frustrate you. And, like, instances of, like, terrible game design that just have got you pulling your hair out. And we got some pretty good answers, so we're going to talk about them today.
Yeah. My friend, iWes from the Achievement Hunter community mentioned Minecraft, and when you basically land in lava, when you just saw a bunch of diamonds, which is fucking, it's fucking, like, troll. That's
yeah,
troll move.
Definitely. Oh, also, we're going to have a special announcement at the end of the show, guys.
So yes, yeah, forgot to mention that, but...
We're going
to
be talking about some
yes.
cool stuff.
What
but
else
yeah,
is there?
No, I agree. That really sucks, and, like, I've heard a lot of times people who fall into that situation, they'll, like, quit Minecraft for, like, months. I know that's something that I've done, too, where I'm just like, oh, man, a creeper blew up, like, most of my house. I'm done with this. I'm just
yeah,
gonna...
that's what I do. And then, you know, there's, like, 3 updates in between that time when you quit. When you
everything.
No, not even, but there's so all of a sudden you're walking into a brand new world with brand new opportunity, right? So yeah. I guess that's the kind of the benefit of the, you know, the try time, the I can't speak today. the three times a year that you play Minecraft because it's so frustrating the rest of the time that you can't stop being angry about it.
Well, I mean, at the same time, too, I've heard of people who will play a game and, you know, get so far, or, like, get to a certain boss and then stop playing it for a little while. And then, you know, when they start, like, if it's an RPG, they need to start all over again because they have no idea what they were doing.
Yeah.
And then they get to a certain part, and they'll stop again, and it causes them just never to complete a game.
Yeah. That being said, at least an RPG you can pick up and play. Like, especially, Elder Scrolls and Fallout.
Yeah. Yeah, there are a lot more, coming out now. They're a lot easier to get into.
Yeah. Another one was a story and mechanic of starting in the middle with all your power getting pushed back to the start. That sucks. Yeah.
This happened in, like, Prototype and Assassin's Creed. Like, the Assassin's Creeds are really good at it. They start you with, like, all of your weaponry / all of your, you know, or a good portion of all, of, like, your cool powers. And then they're like, but really, you're just remembering this time in the past, or really, it's just, you don't have that stuff yet, or it's going to get taken away from you.
Yeah.
It's only done as kind of this cheap way, or at least I find, it's giving the player this kind of cheap preview of later mechanics in order to get them hooked, which you should be able to, I think, hook in a player differently than just to say, here's all the cool stuff you'll be able to do later.
Yeah, agreed. One that bothers me Actually, oh, here's another one from the Rooster Teeth community. My friend, please open. There we go. Comments, yay! See, my friend Erkin from the Rooster Teeth community mentioned a game called The Heart of Darkness on PS1, where you play a boy who is constantly either falling to his doom or screaming every time he dies or getting attacked and beaten by shadow demon thingies. And the whole game is essentially a huge dungeon crawl. Which, I mean, as someone who loves RPGs and strategic gaming, I love a good dungeon crawl personally, but the value of a dungeon crawl only comes out when you know you're done your dungeon crawl and you can go through the rest of the game because you feel like you did gain something. You beat this. You beat Victory Road, you got through, and then now the real challenge starts, kind of thing. I do appreciate a dungeon crawl in that kind of sense, but when an entire game is basically dungeon crawly, like, there's no value in it to me.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I can definitely agree. I mean, I grew up with Diablo, which is one of the quintessential, like, roguelike dungeon crawlers where everything's random generated, so you can play it through 100 times, different every time. But, I mean, the major difference with that being that it's not just the same character every time. There's difference in character, there's difference in, you know, weaponry, and well, it's more than just dungeon crawl. There's story, and there's a lot, there's multiplayer, more elements to it, too. Like, a single person going through a dungeon, you have to really refine that piece of gameplay in order to make it fun, because that's not the part of the game that's fun. If you look at old games like that, the parts of the games that are fun are the customization or the tactical side of battle, not necessarily the, oh, I've got to slug my way through a dungeon for 45 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, dungeon crawls, again, I love dungeon crawls because when you finish one, you feel like you actually gain something, you know. And I like dungeon crawls in the way that Simon's Quest, in the opposite way that Simon's Quest from Castlevania did it, in the way that it wasn't really satisfying as it was as the first Castlevania.
Yeah. You want to go to another?
Yeah, is there another? Do we have another one? Unfair AI, we got a good one. Bin Man from Rooster Teeth said, the toughest AI that he's ever experienced was in Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare on Veteran Mode, and it's just hard. So, yeah, unfair AI really, really suck, because That being said, some games, like, the AI is hard because you really need to think about the game. If the game's mindless, then there wouldn't be any need for a hard AI.
Yeah, well, there's definitely, like, supposed to be a learning curve there, though, for sure. You can't just throw the player into a game with your hardest AI and expect them to eventually learn it. You kind of have to give them the benefit of the doubt of, yeah, there needs to be a point where you teach the player this thing and let them refine it in all situations, and then they should be able to use it proper.
Exactly.
Another thing that I know was brought up was, like, there's a new Magic the Gathering game out called Duels of the Planeswalkers 2014, and I think I had a friend who had been playing that, and his comment was, I hate it when I play this game, where I know that in reality, the game isn't programmed to give me terrible draws in this card game, but it feels like the opponent is, even though it's like it shouldn't be.
Yeah, and precisely.
It's this interesting way of, like, players can perceive ill luck in only the light of, like, random, even if it's not actually there. And I saw a talk on gaming once where, like, say, character players in World of Warcraft were looking for, say you were looking for 10 pies, and you were just breaking open crates looking for pies, and you had a 10% chance of finding a pie. Well, on your 9th crate, it's going to feel a whole lot longer to get that last pie than it is on any other crate, right?
So, yeah.
What they talked about how some of the developers were handling it for certain quests was, that actually increased the drop rate by a significant amount the closer you got to the end of the quest. So they would change the number so that the quest was still basically the same. It would still take up all the same amount of time. It would still do the same thing, give the same XP, but it would just be modified so that the player didn't feel as though the quest itself was as tedious, which player perception is actually it's such a huge thing in games that I'm sure even just that small change really helped them.
Yeah, that's I'm so zoned out right now. yeah, that's annoying as hell. Learning curves, awesome. I mean, there's some really bad learning curves in games. Really bad one, once you notice it, is Skyrim. Skyrim is a really shitty learning curve after a while.
What makes you say that?
Well, not even just learning curve, but I find that their leveling system in terms of their items is really... It's really iffy. The way that you start off with, an iron sword or the imperial sword or something, low grade and really shitty. To think that, you're going to eventually upgrade to, I can get an orcish bow, or, I can now get the dwarven and the elven bow, and it escalates really quickly. You can get elven bows with a non-modded Skyrim account really, really early in the game. You can get elven stuff at level 14, 15. So, that's all fine and dandy. I mean, you're getting new stuff all the time, which is, I'm pretty sure if Elder Scrolls Online was to ever do a real life monetary a monetary aid to their game, I'm pretty sure they would do it in the form of new items all the time, because it has that Borderlands feel to it where there's always new stuff coming in, you're always finding new cool stuff, and you're excited to find the stuff, and it's all part of the game mechanic.
Loot. It really feels like loot.
Loot is awesome. The only problem with Elder Scrolls, Skyrim specifically, loot, lootness, what happens is that you keep getting new stuff all the time, but you have all this old stuff that is still sitting in stores, still sitting in your first trunk somewheres, and it just becomes a waste of space, because as soon as you get to the dragon armor stage and the Daedric armor stage and the Daedric weapon stage, it's really hard to look back from that. Personally, I prefer wearing my Thieves Guild stuff or my the Assassin's Guild stuff when it comes to Skyrim. Not really the heavy armors, because I prefer playing Thief anyway, so I need to have big pockets, not big armor.
That's fair.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, you have all this stuff, all this iron everything and all this elven everything that you're not using anymore because you have the best bow in the game. It's not really the best thing to do.
Yeah, well, I've always found that, once you actually start getting up to a really high level, you start to be, very, very overpowered. I've always found that those kind of games are really tuned for the beginning experience of the game, and not quite so finely balanced for the, end game, which is good, because in those kind of games, you are going to end up making a ton of characters. You are going to end up making, playing it over a ton of times. You're going to end up wanting to take different branching paths just from the beginning. So it is good that the very beginning is so balanced, but there are, a lot of times, especially, Oblivion, Morrowind, and Skyrim, where once you get past a certain level, everything kind of becomes easy, and, the dragons even aren't really a challenge. Nothing's too difficult to really kill, because we have all of the upgraded shouts and all of the upgraded magic or all the upgraded damage.
Yeah, I mean, getting too strong too fast, which happens constantly.
The other frustrating thing that I actually found happening in Skyrim, if you didn't pay attention, was crafting skills, super easy to upgrade. Did they help your, ability to kill higher-level creatures? It did not.
No.
So, you could kind of trap yourself where, if you got to the very, to Whiterun or whatever, and just started creating like daggers and trying to level up your blacksmithing, you would have really good like armor or weaponry, but it's still like all of your skill would be so low that it basically wouldn't matter.
Yeah, precisely. And the fact they actually took that out with the Legendary Edition.
Oh really? How did they fix that?
You just can't do it anymore. It's the bug is just not there to be manipulated.
Well, no, the thing is if you focused on your blacksmithing,
yes,
as soon as you got into Whiterun, you would gain levels in your blacksmithing, which, yes, would cause your character to level up, which was great because, you know, obviously your character was leveling up and you were getting better at blacksmithing, but it wasn't leveling up like your hand-to-hand or your armor skills. So you were like 4 or 5 levels above where you should be. All the enemies around you, because they level with you, are you know, 4 or 5 levels above where your combat actually is. So it makes it a lot harder to, if you accidentally focus on crafting first, it does make it a lot harder to kind of deal with the enemy creatures in the game.
Yeah, because crafting, it's almost like, you know how in PvP team games, there's always like a healer, and they're like the support role?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like in Guild Wars, where, you know, you're, I don't want to say the magic dude, but there's different, basically, classes of everything in, mm-hmm, Guild Wars, but it's the same kind of thing as League, where they're like, you could be a support class or kind of be like more of an, okay, I'm going to sneak around and attack you kind of class.
Yeah.
It has that same kind of thing. So, yeah, it's basically kind of like that and stuff. I'm distracted by my computer.
Yeah, why?
I forgot my StumbleUpon password, and I've had it since I was like 16.
Oh, dear.
And I just can't remember it anymore. Initially, I just kind of forgot it, but I always had my StumbleUpon Firefox plugin for the browser. I always had that, and I never actually used StumbleUpon as a page because, you know, I like random stumbles when there's nothing going on, so I don't bother signing in. I just use the stumble button on the
bar.
And I actually had to force reset Firefox the other day because it was being slow and being dick and, you know, basically being unusable, so I was forced to put it back, and I haven't recovered my passwords yet, so.
Oh, dear.
I'm going to start a second because, you know, why not? You know, you can get... See, when I first saw StumbleUpon, I thought, man, you can get really, really cultured on this, but then, you know... You don't. Because you tick off all the things like chaos, complexity, bizarre oddities, and you like history and all that stuff. And then, you know, you learn nothing. Except, you know, how to make a purse out of like cheese from like...
Belgium.
Yeah.
Belgian cheese purses. Because it was that one page that you were too tired to switch away from.
Yeah.
That's StumbleUpon. StumbleUpon, you can be up for, like, way too long stumbling, and there's just no reason for it.
You know, there's actually some of them, there's some pages, I think they must be activated by a bot, like, for you to hit them at a certain time or past a certain time, because it's happened where I've been stumbling at 6 in the morning, and I've gotten a message, like, on a new page that said, please go to bed.
Really?
There's actually that actually exists, yeah.
Wow, that's pretty good.
It didn't quite say, please go to bed. You really need to get a fucking life. It's just, yeah.
But really close.
Yeah, basically.
Valid.
What else do we have? Oh, the Rooster Teeth DDoS. Recently, as my compatriots from the community would know, we started getting really slow experience on the site, and this happens fairly whenever, you know, it's no big deal because it happens all the time. But what happened this weekend, or I should say about a week and a half ago, is that you couldn't log into the page completely, which is usually not what happens to us. It's usually during the podcast that it gets really gross and slow, but Yeah, for a few days, the site was really, really on and off, and there's suspected DDoS attacks, because every time you load a Rooster Teeth page, your browser is checked by Cloudflare. Flare? Is it Cloudflare or Flare?
Cloudflare.
Yeah, you get a message from Cloudflare about scanning for DDoS, making sure that you're a real person and not a bot, basically. But it seems fairly okay now, so I think it's okay to come out.
It's okay to come out.
Yeah, closet.
All of the neckbeards can come out.
Actually, there's not many real neckbeards on the site, come to think of it.
No.
No. Not that I've, well, I mean, there's always some neckbeards. I mean, we're a geek community, so. I mean, I'm one of them, so. I just need to find other people of my caliber, though. Well, yeah, what else is there? Stryker tickled me right there, so. Poking my neckbeardness.
Neckbeardness.
Oh, dear. What else is there to talk about?
Well, we were going to kind of talk about maybe playing online with shitty teammates.
Yeah, shitty teammates.
I know you said you're not really an online people, but.
Precisely for that reason.
Do you go online with any of your games at all?
With Xbox Live, mostly I'll talk to my friends from the Rooster Teeth community there. That's basically what I do. In terms of online gaming, though, we don't really do that. Like, the most that I've done with people over Xbox Live is basically, you know, the Xbox Minecraft.
Yeah.
Which, it's a fun multiplayer game, and that's one of the ones where it's like, if you can play it one-on-one with someone, do it. Because it's the best bonding experience you will ever have.
Yeah,
is playing Minecraft with your homeboy.
Speaking of which, I have Minecraft now.
Oh, do you? Yeah. Do you have the paid account?
Yeah, I do.
Nice. Well, that's something that we can do. We can get to know each other.
Because
obviously there's so much we don't know about each other after, you know, three years.
Yeah,
we've known each other for 3 years. It's crazy.
We've
hung out, like, less than 10 times.
Who knows, maybe we'll have to get, like, a community server together or something.
Yeah, exactly.
To that point, it's totally something we could do.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Charlottetown, it's really, really beautiful. It's really clean. And, yeah, I like it here.
Yeah, you like the East Coast?
It's where I'm from. I can't help it. We had lobster the other night. It was great. Because it was, like, actual lobster inside a shell that you can just buy at many places in Shediac because it's full of lobster. Maritimer stuff.
How was Shediac?
Shediac.
You should probably explain why the hell you're talking like that. Most people don't know what Shediac
is. Oh, yeah. Shediac. Basically, a part of our home province is from like the lower middle up, it's all French, essentially. Stryker and I are from the English-speaking part of town, part of the province, although I'm fluent in French. And, it's all Acadian French, too. You'll notice once you hear a lot of different people from a lot of different places speak French that not all French is equal, a lot like English. Because there's different colloquialisms, different ways of saying certain things, different pronunciations, etc., etc. But the Acadian French is really, really distinct because it's disgusting. No, it's basically the dirty, dirty French out there, where it's like, it's half English, half French.
So, it's just a weird conglomeration of both. Go to the La Carla to get la...
Ben, j'étais là, mec, toi, là, avec mon chum, mon boyfriend, là, we ate a Big Mac, là. French, LOL. How do I like things?
How do I like things? I don't know, Eileen.
I thought I signed and stumbled upon.
You have to form an opinion. Once you've done that, then you get, if it's a positive opinion, that means you like it.
Positive opinion, okay.
You like that thing?
Yes, it's a stumble upon stuff. It was a drawing of an octopus, but he's a big wooden octopus, and there's a village on top of him. It's really, you know, abstract and hipstery or whatever you children are into these days.
Whatever the kids are into these days.
I don't understand anything new that comes out. Like, there's that Vine app that came out. I don't care. Like, I'm just so out of the loop with what's, you know, right now. Like, my ideal phone isn't an iOS phone or an Android phone. It is a phone that allows me to essentially, you know, call people and text people, because that's it. That's all I do. Mm-hmm. I have my photo editing apps, like Snapseed and Aviary and stuff, but I don't use anything like Instagram or whatever.
I guess I'll mention this on here. My phone plan is actually pretty fantastic.
Shut up.
I'm with a carrier called PC Mobile, and they're great. I got a pay as you go plan when I turned 16. My parents were like, "Yeah, here's your phone, have fun," and so it was great. Whatever. So I ended up getting like this package plan. This was like 5 years ago, of unlimited text for $10 a month, and then unlimited data or unlimited internet for $5. And I never got rid of it. In fact, I don't think I've ever called them since. So now, even though, you know, cellular data is just a huge thing and you can never find unlimited data anymore, I have unlimited data for $5 a month. And somehow, for some reason, they actually started... I never thought they would actually make an Android phone for my phone company, but they did. So now I have an Android phone that I can download, you know, Google Play apps on and watch Netflix on. With unlimited data. It's awesome. And Nellie hates me for it.
Yeah, because I'm with Virgin Mobile. And my plan is, it's really generous, and I've never gone over my 2 gigs a month. So, I mean, it's quite clearly more than enough for me, even though I've been using it like crazy when I've been in and out of airports over the past week. So, even though I've used it more than usual, it's really fair, and... Yeah, it's a great plan, but, you know, to have unlimited mobile and have your roommate brag about how he can watch Netflix to and from work, yeah, that's a little bit of a kick in the gut.
It's just so nice. So, but, yeah, phone plans, it's just silly. It's funny that it just became this huge thing and nobody really actually expected it to be. Like, everyone was like, yeah, crappy cell phone internet, don't even worry about it, it's great, and then it actually...
Yeah, I can Google things.
Now it's kind of ruling our lives, where we can make it so we can have access to all of these things.
I see. I hate you for it, by the way.
I know, I understand. I completely understand anyone who hates me for it. If I wasn't me, I would hate myself for it, but I just happen to be the one who has it, so.
Whoa, oh, okay. There's been rain coming from my browser for the past, like, 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. It was from,
Rainy Mood?
Yeah, Rainy Mood. I was wondering what that fuzz was, and I looked outside, and there's no obvious rain, and then... So, yeah, we're going to have a lot of fuzz on this podcast.
Well, like 30 seconds of it. I'm sure it'll be fine. Maybe I'll just have to play the song of Stormberg before it.
Yeah. Let's see. What else is there?
Do we want to make our special announcement?
Yeah, sure. Let's talk about it. So, we have a thing that we decided to do recently, and we decided to partner up with a website called, what's it called again?
It's Patreon.
Patreon, and it's essentially a Kickstarter-type website where you can crowdsource a project, and they get money, and, you know, the website gets a cut, and you get cool stuff, whatever. The difference between the crowdsourcing behind Kickstarter and the difference between crowdsourcing at Patreon is that, for us, it's less about, okay, well, we will give you this if you give us money, and we will give you this result if you pay $50, and we will yada, yada, yada. The difference between what we're doing and what Kickstarter is doing is that you can donate us money if you feel like it. Yeah. If you are allergic to money, or...
If it happens to be setting your pockets on fire, or, like, if you just want to happen to donate to us because you enjoy listening to us or whatever, it's an avenue that we can kind of reward anyone who does want to donate to us, like as opposed to putting like a PayPal link and yeah, whatever you donate. Patreon lets us set up the way it works is it would be a donation every time we put out a podcast. You can choose to donate like a dollar, which is like $4 a month, and you can like you can set a max so that if we put out like a podcast a day, it won't go above a certain amount. But you get to put out that much every time we put out a podcast, and if you put out a dollar, then you get access to like our Patreon stream, and we get to kind of interact with you, and we ask, you know, obviously you guys these kind of questions that we've been asking people, like what frustrates you guys in games, things like that. With $5, actually, you go up to $5, it's actually a different reward tier. What do we have for that?
It's awesome. The $5 is probably the best valued one out of our rewards that we have. For $5 donation, you get a postcard autographed and with a personalized message from Indian Striker. You get to choose a topic for us to cover in a future episode, which is subject to us reviewing first, of course. But we're pretty chill and whatever, so yeah, we don't give a fuck. and you can let us brighten your day too, because Patreons that get to the $5 reward level can get a Skype session with Indie and Striker for a Q&A to mutually make fun of games or to just sit and drink coffee with while Indie drinks bourbon.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what's the next one?
So that one was if you end up like donating, I think it's $5 per podcast, which like I said, it's totally optional. Like we're still going to be putting out content every week. We're going to be doing our podcast no matter what. It's completely free. It'll always be free to you guys. But this is, like I said, this is just a way for us to kind of be able to connect with people who want to, if you guys want to be able to donate to us.
And if haters be hating, capitalism's awesome. Try it, you commie motherfucker.
That too. And then the $25 one is like if you're gonna be going up to that part, we can either like give you guys like a shout out like every single episode, just say, you know, hey, this your Twitter or this podcast or this, you know, whatever you happen to have, we can give that a shout.
Yeah. And then you get everything that you got in the previous.
Yeah, plus everything else. So we'll send you out the autograph stuff, and we'll chat with you over Skype, and you can pick some topics and stuff.
For what it's worth, I think it's really cool. It's a lot less pressure than a Kickstarter, because Kickstarters are like rockets. They just take right off, and all of a sudden, little Jimmy's rabbit hoarding community game on Facebook is getting, you know, $200,000 just to, because people want to play it. Yeah. And I do admire the model behind that, but at the same time, it's like we could be giving, okay, now I'm going to sound like a huge fucking hypocrite, but you ever see those huge salaried, huge numbered Kickstarters with like the $200,000 and they're like $150,000 over what they needed?
Yeah.
It's like,
those could go to a different Kickstarter.
That could, not just a different Kickstarter, but to like somewhere in the world that might need it.
Yeah.
Like fair. If you can meet your Kickstarter goal, great, but that excess money. Really, man?
Well, at least, and they put stretch goals if they do happen to make it past. And the same, like, we'll let you guys know, like, basically exactly what we're going to use it for. We're going to use it for Podomatic costs for keeping our pro account, and we're going to use it for if we happen to get enough, like, better recording equipment, stuff like that. If we can go so far as to get enough sponsors to, you know, not have to work and be able to put full-time hours into the podcast, I would be more than happy to do it and to maybe make like video content for it or whatever.
Yeah.
It depends on the level of support that we have, and that would kind of enable us to go as far as people want to with us.
It, precisely. And what was I just going to mention? You can remind me, Andrea.
Only like 2/3 of the time.
Okay. I was going to mention something else, but I forget what it was. I'm looking at cats on the internet.
That can definitely be very distracting.
Yeah, but essentially, we are not putting any pressure on our listeners to donate. It's completely up to you. I like capitalism, and I like profiting off of capitalism, and it's the best thing in the world. But, America.
But no matter what, like, it doesn't matter. Like, if we get zero donations, we get zero donations. Like, it we're still planning on doing the podcast every single week. It's hella fun. So yeah.
We just need to find less stingy boyfriends. Right, Striker? Or girlfriends? Or
yeah. less stingy people.
Yeah. I'm a weird person. But yeah, it's completely optional, and we're never going to make any... Obviously, we can't make anyone do it, because I don't know how to identity fraud and use other people's credit cards online.
This is true. Nobody give her their credit card information.
No, just...
Don't do that.
You shouldn't do that with anybody. So if you already... If you're considering giving it to me, just go home.
Go home.
Just go home.
Just go home. You lose.
Have a quick shower and go home.
We're good?
Yeah.
Do you want to wrap up?
Yeah.
Okay. Alright, so that's been this episode of Link to the Podcast, episode number 3.
Episode number 3. I'm proud. And from now on, as we said, we are going to be together forever.
Yep, we'll be putting out
forever and ever.
A new video. What's today? We'll put out a video every Wednesday.
Is it Tuesday? It's Tuesday, I think, right?
It's Tuesday.
Yeah, it's Tuesday.
Yeah. We'll put out a new podcast every Tuesday.
Every Tuesday.
For you guys. That way we can... definitely check. Keep in touch, because we do have avenues of contacting. And if you guys want... we'll be on Podomatic, and also we are on iTunes still. If you want, you can download us through there and throw us on your iPhones or our iPods or whatever. And aside from that, thanks for listening.
Thank you very much for listening, and we will be updating our Patreon page really, really soon with content. So even if you don't plan on going to that page and donating, you can still visit, because we will be updating that page with information quite often. Bye! We're done!